Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, weary traveler. Need a short rest? Oh, I see. They said you'd be showing up about now. Come on, through the portal. Best not keep the Lore Mistress and Lore Master waiting. You know how they get.
Robots Radio presents the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. The best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio and I will be your lore master for this episode. We are joined by our multiverse famous patrons of the round table. We've got a Darkwing. We've got an exuberant Darkwing. We've got a Grim Vance. We've got a Coffee Bean. And we've got Secret Agent Jeff Steele, which that sounds like, and not to disparage your name, but that sounds like a spy name that like Michael Scott would give himself in a spy movie.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm well aware. I was a lot less concerned about it before The Office became popular, but you know, Michael Scorn is the man he is, and I accept Scorn.
So this episode, instead of the usual like patron roundtable, like sort of like topic that we discuss, we're gonna go through, since it's the end of 2023, we're gonna go through each of the patrons. We're gonna talk about the stuff that we've been enjoying the second half of the year. All the books we've been reading, all the games we've been playing, all the shows we've been watching, all the actual plays we've been listening to, all the stuff in the TTRPG space, all the stuff in the D&D space that we love and that we've been that we've spent way too much time on. And I'm sure we're going to talk about Baldur's Gate 3. I'm going to go ahead bring up the elephant in the room. Who here has lost an inordinate amount of time playing Baldur's Gate 3?
Hi, hello, it's me. How are you doing?
Grim, let's talk about
Ish.
It.
So I have done about 1.5 playthroughs at this point. For some reason I couldn't bring myself to get through the Dark Urge playthrough, but I went about as chaotic as I could get on my first playthrough. How spoilery can I get with this?
Not too spoilery. Keep it spoiler light.
Yeah, okay. I haven't played it yet.
Okay, got it. So I went with the, we'll just say I went with the not so good ending.
Okay, there are various endings.
Yeah, I went with the obvious not good ending. I did not go Dark Urge my first playthrough, mainly because I didn't even realize that was a thing my first playthrough. But it was, they did a really good job of making Baldur's Gate 3 feel like D&D on a computer. I can't give them enough props for that. That felt really good to play. And I will play more of it once I have a functioning computer that doesn't die on me mid-game.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that before we recorded. You have a company in your crosshairs that needs to make right with one with the singular part. That's the worst about it, I think.
Yep.
That you're just
not just
the
singular
one,
the last one. But yeah, there's actually a reason I'm building a new one. My current one, whenever I play a game, it just dies, and I'm like, I'm not going to bother fixing you. I'm just going to build a new computer.
I mean, like I agree with you, but I also feel that's not how my family thinks when I get up there in age. We're not going to bother fixing you. We're just going to get a new lore master.
We will never replace our lore master.
Coffee, you mentioned I heard you pipe in for the Baldur's Gate 3 love.
I've been playing it a little bit.
So what do you like the most about it?
I actually haven't completed a playthrough yet. I've mostly been just restarting and restarting it some, trying out different stuff.
I have a coworker who's been the same way. He has only gotten through the first act, but he said he's probably pumped at least 300-400 hours into it. Because he'll just go back and continue to explore and go back and revisit other choices.
So
That speaks to the quality of the game.
Yeah, I have a friend that's very, like, build heavy. Like, I think he probably restarted Baldur's Gate about 15 to 20 times in Act 1 just to try to get the most overpowered character that he could get for the game, to the point where he probably could have soloed the game with one character on hard. And I was like, sir, that's a little extreme, but whatever floats your boat, man, have fun.
And float it does.
Darkwing, you mentioned that you haven't played it yet, which is to imply that you plan on playing it.
Yeah, it's you know, the snow's gonna fly here soon enough, and I won't be able to be outside as much. I figured I would,
or at all.
Yeah, or at all. So I figured I'd pick it up over the winter and put some hours into it because it looks like a great game.
Oh, it's utterly fantastic. I know
tons of stuff about Baldur's Gate and Forgotten Realms. And, you know, I can go run around, see where Juror Laxel's at. I think I just slaughtered that. But right now, yeah, the closest thing I've done to playing video games was I was just kind of screwing around on an old Shadowrun point-and-click adventure. The other day.
The Super Nintendo version or the Sega Genesis version?
Oh, no. PC. It's Shadowrun Returns? Or was it? Oh, I'd have to go look. It's either that or Hong Kong.
Okay. So I thought you meant like way back.
Oh, not way, way back. But, you know, old enough that I turned it on. I'm like, this is not as impressive anymore.
Jeff, do you have any interest in Baldur's Gate 3? Have you played it? Do you plan on playing it?
I have tremendous interest. And I just want to say, Coffee, don't feel bad. I haven't touched it, just like Darkwing. But unlike Darkwing, snow's not going to fly for me anymore. I used to live in Minnesota. I have moved to Las Vegas. So, you know, ostensibly, there will be no snow. Perhaps there will be, but I don't anticipate it'll hang around long enough for me to get involved in too many video games without being intentional about it. If my intent is to be outdoors, I think that, you know, that's going to happen pretty easily. So I haven't touched it yet. I read a lot. I ask a lot of questions. I'm kind of at the point in my life with hobbies and everything else where, like, when it comes to Baldur's Gate, stuff that I'm really excited about but can't touch, I just, like, ask people about it and then live vicariously.
Yeah, I can totally agree. I am insanely busy between the show and between, you know, like, real life and everything else that I wasn't able to play Baldur's Gate 3 for about a month or so after it came out. And then I finally had a Friday evening where I didn't have anything to do Saturday. So I'm like, I could, you know, stay up late Friday night and play Baldur's Gate 3 and actually get a good start on it instead of, you know, playing it for an hour and then leaving it. Because that's what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to nickel and dime it. And I did. I got started about, you know, 9:30 or so Friday night. And then I stopped playing about 4 in the morning on Saturday. And yeah, that was my introduction to it. And I can understand why everyone loves this game so much. But no, just like you, I mentioned I have a coworker who plays through it. I talk to him about it all the time. Sean, the special guest co-host, is the one friend who has who's played at least one playthrough. He was utterly obsessed with it while he was playing it. And that's partly why he agreed to be the guest co-host for the show. He's like, you know what? I liked D&D before, but now I think I love it. And it's because of this game. And like you said, Grim, it's the closest I feel that any company's gotten to simulating the D&D experience in a video game.
Okay, I will be excited to see now with that phrase, because I've heard this before many times.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, I was really excited about Neverwinter Nights, and I enjoyed Neverwinter Nights, but it was not D&D like they said it was supposed to be. I was like, I mean, it's fun, but so I mean, I am excited to see it because everybody has really high praise, just like you said, and I'm excited to see just how good it really is.
I mean, it's been nominated already for Game of the Year by a couple of different publications, organizations, whatever you want to call them. And I mean, I haven't played the new Zelda game. Not to start any kind of controversy, but I'm not a big Zelda guy. I just never got into it as a kid.
Got you back.
I'm not either.
I mean, not to say that the games are bad. I just never got into them. But I also hear that Super Mario Wonder, I believe it's called. I heard that's fantastic. But I'm partial to D&D, so of course I'm going to throw my weight behind Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm. It's not called Mario Lorecast.
Exactly.
It's not, but there. It's because you brought Mario up. I wasn't going to mention this, but if anybody gets a chance to go watch the, it's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds of your life, and it's a dorkly bit of if Mario was more like Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, we'll definitely watch it. We'll link to that in the Discord.
Please do. It is. I'll get you the link. It's hysterical.
So what else has anyone else been reading? Any D&D or TTRPG? Darkwing, you mentioned that you booted up some old Shadowrun.
Yeah, it's very nostalgic. I enjoy it very much. I've gone back through the first two books of Orkonomics in preparation for the third book to be coming out. It's not exactly D&D. It's like if it's a RPG world. I mean, goblins, dwarves, etc.
Right.
And it's goofy, but and just been still playing that same campaign with my same group of guys. We're in Ravenloft. We're on a little hiatus because I got a little ahead of myself, and now I'm trying to rewrite my story.
of every DM, of every homebrew DM.
I was so close. It was working so well. I hope you can feel the frustration coming through my voice. But while we've not been doing that, I have been going back and we're playing the Tile D&D game from Wizards. The Mage of Waterdeep, the Mad Mage of Waterdeep. We've been having a really good time with that. We should. Had I not gotten deathly ill over the weekend, we would have been almost done. But by the time we get done here in the next 2 weeks, I should be ready to get back into Where's Lino the Sword in Ravenloft? And who was that Mumra character we just met before we jumped through this portal? So that's about all I got in the way of D&D. Yeah, that just listening to D&D books. I guess I did just start re-listening to the last trilogy of Drizzt to get caught up before I start getting into the new parts.
Oh, you mean like the trilogy that's already been published?
Been published. I saw there was some new. I'm like, I should continue with my obsession.
Yeah. I believe Loth's Warrior just came out in August of this
year. Yeah. So I'm just going back doing my old research. I like to do that every now and then. I forget about stuff, and you go back and re-listen to books or reread books, and like, oh yeah, that thing that
happened that I thought was so cool and thought I would never forget.
Yeah, and it totally did. Totally forgot it. So, yeah, that's all I got. What else you guys been doing?
Jeff, how about you? What have you gotten yourself into besides a handlebar mustache?
Man, this handlebar mustache is really taking up a ton of my time. You get the fingernail clippers out and like really hair by hair paint this.
To make it look that good as it looks, you have to.
It's a responsibility that I take very seriously. Talking about old books, like rereading, it was a few months ago now, but it's the Penhaligon trilogy. First book is The Tainted Sword. Second book, I can't remember. Third book, can't remember that either. But it's the Penhaligon trilogy. Like, I think it was a pretty small print run, but it was D&D, and I want to say it was, Faerun, but I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. Anyway, old D&D books, Darkwing, Ophelia. Yeah. And then play-wise, like, I think I talked several months ago about Simbarum, Ruins of Simbarum being the 5e setting for Free League's Simbarum standalone RPG. And I've stuck with that campaign now for well over a year. And it's great. It's a ton of fun. It's dark. My favorite thing about it is that you don't prepare spells. There's no limit to spell casting. You just acquire corruption the more that you cast.
Ah.
And so we had an invasion of... What's that?
I said I love that.
Yeah, it's dope.
That's awesome.
It's dope. So
I have a lot of questions all of a sudden, but go on. Sorry.
Happy to answer. But like, we were defending this keep against like this horde of barbarians, and in Simbarum, like magic users are called mystics, and then all the subclasses like go through sorcerer, wizard, etc. And there are some that are unique to the setting and so on. But my character is a sorcerer, and you know, we hit like level 5 a while back. I picked up Lightning Bolt because Fireball is not on the sorcerer spell list in that setting. And when these barbarians were invading, I was using Misty Step and I was casting Lightning Bolts like it was going out of style. And I just wrecked them. And it was great. And then I like collapsed from all of the corruption, just like straight to the ground. But, that's awesome. You know, save the day. But yeah, it's a really great campaign. I think our DM is playing out of the books, not just the 5e books, but also like the original source books from the standalone RPG. And yeah, it's great. It's a ton of fun. But I went from playing about 14 hours of D&D a week to now playing 4. So teardrops for me, everyone. I would very much appreciate that.
And what's the reason for that?
The move, kid, school.
It's always the kid.
Always, you know, Sergio. Know. You got the little ones.
I've got one out of the house. Finally, thankfully, I've got two more left. And as soon as we can get them out, it's gonna be nonstop D&D. I tell you what.
Yeah. 100% of the time.
Like, what do you need? Yeah. Like, can I just Venmo you $50 and get you to stop texting me?
I'm in the middle of the green.
Best plan I've ever heard. I just want him out of the house, and we're gonna play D&D all day.
But yeah, you mentioned the Penhaligon trilogy. That sounded familiar, and I was like, "Why does that sound familiar?" It's because I have the second book, The Dragon's Tomb, which I just found. Hadn't ever heard of it. Found it. I'm like, okay, well, this is D&D. It says D&D on it, but it's the second one, so I haven't read it because I haven't been able to find the first one. But yeah, the second one's The Dragon's Tomb, and the first is The Fall of Magic. So yeah, I'm going to have to track those down so I can go ahead and finally read them.
Yeah, no, they're great. They're a little bit YA. If you're okay with YA, that's no problem, but it's fun. There's stuff in them that doesn't exist in, I don't think, anywhere else in D&D that I've read, but yeah. Outside of that, I have read a whole bunch of these Kickstarters that have ended, and I don't know if your addiction has gotten any better, Sergio, but mine has
it
not.
It has not at all. Not only I've started seeing a new dealer. I've become well acquainted with BackerKit now, and so I get my fix through my two different sources now, two different sides of town.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. Man, they really take the money for the drug, that's for sure. But yeah, I feel you. That's pretty much it. Like, a whole bunch of Kickstarters ended. I've been getting my drive-through RPG downloads, and even though I can't play in my downtime when I have no one to talk to and I'm just crying to myself about my lack of hours for D&D, I just scroll through the books, think about how I would be playing if I could. And
The books love you. The books love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey kid, you want to back this?
Hey kid, you want this? You want this bestiary here? I was like, the artwork looks amazing. Yeah, absolutely do. Now I was talking to somebody about how I have at least three complete adventure paths, as well as the entire core rule books and probably close to half a dozen source books for Pathfinder second edition. And I have not ever played Pathfinder second edition. I used to play first edition like crazy because I cut my teeth on 3.5. And so Pathfinder first edition was kind of like D&D 3.75, you know, when I didn't want to really mess with fourth edition. But I haven't found the time. Like, that's the thing is, me being as obsessed with TTRPGs as I am, you know, I don't have anyone in my life as obsessed. And so if I have people who are willing to play, like, oh yeah, like teach us how to play and we'll run a game for us, they're down for that. But I have to learn how to play myself before I do that. And so I don't know if anyone here in the chat knows this or anyone listening to this knows this, but learning crunchy systems is time consuming.
It is. And I also was going to say that you're not a real TTRPG player unless 80% of the books on your shelf have never been used. I firmly believe that. I'm going to stick with that belief.
80 is conservative. That's a conservative number. Coffee, how about yourself? What have you been getting into? Playing a little bit of Baldur's Gate 3? What else? I know you've been paintballing a whole lot.
I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3 a little bit. I have listened to a few actual plays.
Oh, yeah? What have you been listening to?
I started to listen to Critical Role, but quit.
It's good, but it's long. It's
so long.
It's good, but it's long. I can't. I would love to have the time to be able to listen to every episode. And not even just listen, but absorb every episode. Because, you know, it's, you know, I could listen to it while I'm at work, but then, you know, same reason I don't listen to audiobooks while I'm working is because something happens and I'm like, wait, what? Why did that happen? What happened before that? I missed something. And so, yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a chance I'm willing to take.
What other APs are you listening to, Coffee?
Recently, I've been listening to one that Rooster Teeth has actually been doing called Tales from the Stinky Dragon.
Oh.
I just finished like the first season of that, and then started listening to the second season like, earlier this week, I think. Yeah, those are like nice and short, like 30, I think like 30 to 40, maybe 50 minute long edited episodes.
Okay.
I can just listen to it while I'm at work.
See, I do enjoy that. Like the you know, Crit from Fumbling Four, their episodes are about an hour or so. You know, Dark Dice, about like much like I guess Tales from the Stinky Dragon, about half an hour or so, immaculately edited. And that was, you know, when we talked to Travis from Dark Dice, that's what he said. He's like, you have to make a decision if you want to start an AP. Do you want quality or do you want quantity? Do you just want to, you know, do you want to pump out a bunch of content and, you know, have that be known for that? Which is also like fine. I mean, if it's still entertaining, it's still good. It's just there's still a lot of it, then that's what you want to do. But if you want to, you go the other route, you have to make sure it sounds great and make sure that you're giving them, if it's only going to be half an hour, that it's, you know, worth their, you know, worth the brevity of it.
For sure. I actually, I'm glad you brought up Fumbling Four. I had forgotten to mention that I'd stopped listening to those guys because I was not handling only getting it like every other week or every week. And then I get an hour and I'd be like, shit. So I didn't listen for months now. So I'd have like a catalog that I could, you know, start binging while I, you know, put my headphones in while I'm working and get to it.
Yeah.
And I've just, like last week, I finally started listening again. So shout out to those guys. I'm the only other guys I patron besides you are those knuckleheads.
Those goofballs.
And I use that term in the most loving way. So Coffee, if you want to listen to another play, you go back and listen to the Fumbling Four and the Almighty. The Almighty Crit, that guy. Oh,
the Almighty Crit. Speaking of, yeah, it's been a while since I reached out to Crit. I should holler at him. Yeah, the shows have been as great as ever. Like I said, I appreciate the shorter length, and I do love Critical Role, but like I said, it's unless you have the time, it's a bit to get into.
And it's impossible to get anybody else into it either when they look at the like depth of the content. And it's, I don't know, for me, people try to explain to me, like, you don't really have to start at the beginning. You could literally start in the middle of any campaign and just start listening. And if you've ever played D&D, you'll pick it up, you'll be fine. And I still was so hesitant and then did it and love it. But 4 hours, I mean, if you're not okay with it being on in the background, that's some pretty aggressive expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I do love the show, though. Speaking of stuff that we've been watching, has anyone watched Tale or Legend of Vox Machina?
I was just going to just say, I've never listened to any of Critical Role, but boy, I watched the hell out of the cartoon.
I mean, it was entertaining enough that my wife, who doesn't care about D&D in the slightest, loves that I love it, loves that, you know, I have something that I'm very passionate about. And, you know, when, you know, other, you know, women or you know, when other people are worried about their partners, you know, where they're at on a Saturday night, what they may be doing, she's like, oh, yeah, he's rolling digital dice with his African studies professor and their friends. Definitely, I'm sure that definitely comes into it as well, or, you know, why she appreciates D&D so much. But like I said, I told her, like, I could try to, like, you're into true crime, I could try to, like, you know, homebrew like a murder mystery sort of thing. And she's like, nah, not really for me. She did enjoy the show, though. She was entertained by the Legends of Vox Machina cartoon. So goes to show, like, how good it is. But anything else that you've been getting into, Coffee, besides new APs and Baldur's Gate 3?
Not really.
I know you're going to be playing in a couple of one-shots here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Grim, how about yourself? What have you been getting into the last half of 2023?
Well, good news, bad news, you know, all the news to report. Unfortunately, in the last half of 2023, I actually had to drop both of the campaigns, the one that I was running and the one that I was playing, because
heartbreaking.
Yeah, life got a little too hectic, you know. I had to buy some things, and now I have to maintain those things, mm-hmm. Classic Mustang and all that. You know, wife wants to go places, work wants to work me, and, you know, I just don't have the time to, or the mental energy to, you know, DM a game or play a game anymore. At least not, you know, weekly. So unfortunately that has happened, but on a positive note, I have been listening to a few really good actual plays. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Table Story, but a lot of the stuff they make, at least to me, feels really high quality. I like the stories they make and the role playing that they actually do. The one that I'm listening to right now is Spellwind, and I'm absolutely blown away by the world building in there.
Did you say Table Stories?
Table Story, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And for those listening, we're going to link to all this stuff in the show notes. So if you missed the name, definitely check the show notes and find the links to Table Story, to Tales from the Stinky Dragon. All that stuff's going to be in the show notes.
Yeah, I can link that in a little bit if you want me to. So I've been listening to that. Obviously, I've been listening to D&D Lorecast, obviously. Then, let's see. Oh, I have decided to torture myself and my sanity, and I have decided to take on homebrewing my own world. So I have been sitting here at a computer, racking my brain with ideas to come up with writing my own D&D campaign and world to hopefully one day play with people.
That is the white whale of every D&D player.
Yeah. I'm very detail oriented, so I'm over here like trying to like worry about, you know, what this one merchant in this one town is going to say. I have to step back and say, it doesn't have to be that detailed, but okay.
Doesn't it though?
I mean,
don't you need a backstory for every merchant in every town and every city? And don't you need, you know, a currency conversion between the different kingdoms?
And don't you need Electrum? You need to be able to convert Electrum pieces.
Exactly. Like if I show up to Kingdom A with Electrum, how much can I get in copper in Kingdom B?
See, I think they call that the definition of insanity, and I'm pretty close to that, but I'm not there yet.
Well, there is plenty of time, good sir. There is plenty of time.
No, I mean, I think that's honestly about it. I picked up a couple of things from DM's Guild lately. Just to keep myself busy with something to look at, something to read. I think like Jeff said, you know, if you don't touch 90% or 80% of your books, then you're not a real D&D player. Well, yeah, I buy something from DM's Guild. I skim through it. I look through it. I say, okay, this is cool. And then I unfortunately probably never look at it again. But at least I have it, and that's what's important.
At least you have it.
Yes.
Source material is source material, whether you touch it or not.
Exactly.
Exactly. See, and I like that thinking.
I mean, I feel like I'm cultivating a tabletop library. Like you don't expect every librarian to have read every book in their library.
No, of course not.
But they're there. At least that's how I justify it to my wife.
Yeah, and also like that justification.
We see your library every month. It's right behind you, sir.
Oh, that's not even. I still got a couple more on this side that aren't in view. Although we're thinking of renovating the house a little bit and putting moving the office into the garage, building a small office out there, so that I might have to condense it's like, you know, like get rid of stuff, but like push everything together, so that might make I'll try to create it to where position it so it can I can have my own like little hovel of books, little troll, little goblin in his cavern of books.
Hopefully with a sliding bookshelf that has a secret room full of more books, ideally.
And behind
that's how I like to imagine things, Sergio, for you.
Well, for me personally, I have been much like yourselves. I've been playing some Baldur's Gate 3. Not as much as I wish I could, because the game is utterly fantastic. The game, the characters, you know, that they've given us are have depth. Are multifaceted, you know, the decisions you make have consequences. You know, you can try to, it's one of those games where you can't, there's very, I doubt that there's a path that you could keep everyone happy. Like one thing that you do will, you know, please one of your party members, but enrage another and might force them, you know, might cause them to leave. Which is, I feel like it's like real life. You can't play it safe all the time, or at least you can't play it completely safe. And then just the game itself is just utterly fantastic. I've been buying way too many books, skimming through them, and not really reading them. But I also, and also I've been in the second half of 2023, I went to a couple of different conventions. My first two, actually, I went to the North Texas RPG Con in June. And a couple of weeks ago, I went to the Long Con in Longview, Texas. Actually ran my first con game, an X-Crawl playtest. X-Crawl is a new game from Goodman Games based on the DCC rule set. It's like the running. Are y'all familiar with The Running Man? With the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, the book by Stephen King. It's like this dystopian sort of game show gone bonkers. It's
X-Crawl.
What's that?
The old video game Smash TV. That's what I always thought of.
Okay, yeah. So Smash TV meets like reality TV, meets pro wrestling, meets D&D. That's what X-Crawl is. It's completely over the top. It's completely bonkers. It's essentially dungeon crawling is a professional sport. And you have teams, you have squads, you have dungeon crawl like squads that, you know, come together and, you know, and run through these artificially created dungeons. Like the danger is still real. Like the characters could still die, but the dungeons themselves are artificially created. And so you can do pretty much whatever you want as a result, which is awesome. Like you don't have to, like if, you know, in a normal dungeon crawl, like, well, I can't have a Medusa or I can't have a centaur in the middle of this dungeon. That wouldn't make any sense. Like you absolutely could in X-Crawl. Like, why not? And so, so I ran that. It was a lot of fun. I played a bunch of games, made a bunch of new friends. If you are at all interested in attending a tabletop convention, I recommend you do so. If you're hesitant because you don't have anyone to go with, or you don't exactly know all the rules of all the games, like by all means, like definitely don't let that stop you, because everyone that I met there is more than willing to help you learn, friendly enough to do so. I mean, they kind of, you know, expect it in a way. But I've been doing that. I was showcasing off my Walking Dead core rulebook that I just got from Free League.
Got that one.
So did you order the core rulebook?
I got whatever, the core rulebook and then the other book. I got the two of them.
There is a snafu with their fulfillment partner, and it seems like everyone got the core rulebook regardless of what they ordered. Because I actually pledged at the starter set level, I'm supposed to get the starter set, and I got this instead. And so, but they're making it right for everyone, and so they said I got to keep this. I'll get my starter set here pretty soon. So yeah, maybe I'll be running a Walking Dead adventure at next year's North Texas RPG Con. But yeah, like the cons are great. The cons are a lot of fun. Obviously doing the show, doing a bunch of research, which is one of the nerdiest yet coolest things I could think of on how to spend my free time. And then just being part of this community, which is awesome. And working on actual plays that we will be debuting next year, starring some of you pleasant goofballs.
Pleasantly goofballing.
Huzzah.
And I want to say, like, speaking of being a part of this community and all that, we're going to take a quick break, go to the middle of the show. When we come back, we're going to spend the second half of the show talking about, since Thanksgiving is coming up, talking about what we're grateful for in the TTRPG space.
Hey there, Dungeon Masters. Ever wished for a tool to help design your worlds and campaigns? Introducing Epic World Builder, the app that turns those dreams into reality. Craft intricate dungeons populated with creatures from the abyss, or cities with secrets hidden around every corner. Join a community of dreamers and world builders sharing and exploring each other's creations. Create your free campaign today with EpicWorldBuilder.com. EpicWorldBuilder.com, where your world comes to life.
Welcome to the middle of the show, the most midly part of the show. Going to keep this week short and sweet, Just want to once again thank the patrons for being on the show. Thank you for them for the support, for supporting the show over on patreon.com/dndlorecast. If you are interested in being on the show yourself, being in an actual play, or even just getting ad-free early episodes, bonus content, check out our Patreon. We got a bunch of cool stuff there. Again, thank you to all the listeners for supporting the show just by listening. I mean, it's the fact that you take time out of your life to listen to the D&D Lorecast means the world to us, means the multiverse to us. In terms of homebrew content, this episode is coming out the weekend of Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday. And the DMs Guild / Drive-Thru RPG is having a huge sale on a bunch of their stuff. The homebrew corner is to just check out the entirety of the website. Like right now, you can get Monster Manual Expanded for $6. Get the PDF for $6. It's normally like $30. You can get the Exploring Eberron PDF for $6. That's from Keith Baker himself, the creator of Eberron. So, and a bunch of other cool stuff. So definitely check it out. Spend your gold there. Put some gold in the pocket of a small time creator. That being said, let's go ahead and jump back to the show. Welcome back. We're here with our multiverse famous patron roundtable. And the second half of the show, since Thanksgiving is at the time of this recording, is tomorrow. But since it is Thanksgiving season, the holiday season, a time where you're supposed to be, grateful and thankful and spend time with loved ones, we're going to do exactly that. We're going to talk about what we're grateful for when it comes to the TTRPG space. Darkwing, start us off.
You bet. All right. Now, for any longtime listeners who probably heard this last year, I was probably a lot more emotional, but I'm still very grateful. One, for this community, the guy who leads it does a great job, works very hard, probably doesn't get enough praise for it. Secondly, I'm very grateful for my D&D crew who will play D&D with me. Is one of them just walked through the door, as a matter of fact. And it's just... See, there he is. That's really the community of D&D has helped sustain me for decades at this point. It's always been there. It's always been a bright light, especially when I was down. So... without being any sappier than I was last year, I will pass the mic to whoever would like to go next. Just once again, thank you guys for all being here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if you could get sappier than you did last year.
Oh man,
there was, after Darkwing's soliloquy, there was nary a dry eye in the house.
Yeah, it was. Go back and listen to it. Go back, people, and listen.
Thing of beauty, on par with the end of Blade Runner.
Ooh. Rough. But really, thank you guys for being here. I do appreciate all of you.
Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, I can definitely connect with Darkwing in terms of the community and D&D at large. I think it's really helpful for quite a few of us, just in general. An outlet, a way to connect, a way to meet people, a way to spend time together in joy, in like a really creative space where you make something together, and in a way that's, non-threatening. It's fun. You get to live out all kinds of ideas. So I'm really grateful for that, even though, my hours of play per week have been significantly reduced, but I'm also grateful for the reason for that. To move across the country was great. Minnesota was always rough on me. Never been a fan of the snow, never been a fan of the cold. So the desert suits me far better.
I'm sure Vegas, the temperatures in Vegas are much better for you.
Yeah, I think today it was like 42 was the coldest it got. And I don't know what temperature it was in Minnesota because I just don't concern myself anymore.
Probably
But
a minus sign before the number.
I have to imagine. Yeah, like I said, I don't look anymore. I'm done with that chapter in my life. But yeah, so I mean, that's been great. And also, since we were talking about Game of Thrones, I was always a big, big fan, and Ice and Fire. I was always a big fan of Dorne and the Martells, man. Unbent, unbowed, unbroken forever. So, desert's where I belong. Grateful to be here. Like it says, mountains on four sides. Beautiful valley. So yeah, those are the big things for me.
Awesome. And we're glad that you're here. Coffee, how about you? What are you grateful for the TTRPG space and the world beyond?
Say actual plays. Because I can just kind of listen to D&D while I'm doing it.
Yeah, there you go.
And Baldur's Gate 3, that's fun.
I mean the it can't so in 2023, and I can't really emphasize how amazing this was, but we got a very good D&D movie. It wasn't perfect by any stretch, but it was very good. It was very fun. In fact, Sean, guest co-host, said he recently watched again with his parents. He usually goes over there, however often he goes over there, and they kind of like take turns picking whatever movie they want to watch. And he said it was my turn to pick. I wanted, and they hadn't seen D&D. We watched it and they loved it. They thought it was a great time. He's like, and I liked it. I liked it more than when I initially saw it in theaters. And so it was, and Chris Pine recently said that he's heard scuttlebutt that a sequel will be made. So we'll see, what happens there. But we had a great D&D movie and we've had an amazing D&D video game. Potentially game of the year. So, I mean, this has been a banner year for media, D&D media outside the regular, pen and paper tabletop. What else, Coffee? So you got your APs, so you get to listen to D&D without, playing D&D, which is crucial, I feel, for a lot of people that either don't have the time or don't, have the group around them to be able to play.
I can only think of anything off the top of my head.
Baldur's Gate APs, hey, that's more than enough, baby.
Oh, the movie as well, because that was a really good movie. It
It was great. It was a great
was
movie.
awesome.
Grim, how about you? What are you grateful for?
Oh wow. Well, I'm gonna touch on kind of what a little bit of everyone else said. I am definitely thankful for the D&D lore cast and you guys for hosting it and giving me something to listen to and constantly learning more about D&D. It honestly, I had friends who got me into it. You guys got me even further into it, and that's something I gotta say, I think I'm thankful for.
Got our hooks in you.
Yep, exactly. And then honestly, I have to be, since I actually got into D&D this year, I believe, I have to be thankful for that because that's kind of filled up a space in my life that, I, Lord knows what else I'd be doing with that time, but I don't think I'd rather trade it for anything else. I'm thankful for the opportunity that it's given me to make friends and bond with people because, just the probably I'd say within this last month I've made a friend down the street who has a group of friends that he plays with D&D with that I'll probably end up joining them at some point here soon. And I can bounce ideas off of them and vice versa and all that. So it's good that I have to say I'm thankful for my wife who, might not be into D&D, but hey, she's at least willing to sit down and make a character play the game with me and try to enjoy it even though it's probably not 100% her thing. Man, what else? I know Coffee said that he was thankful for APs, the actual plays. I'm gonna expand on that. I am incredibly thankful for the people who have the, you know, ability and confidence to go out there and actually record themselves playing for others. You know, because I mean, it's a great way to, you know, get ideas, you know, take inspiration from other DMs, and you know, just listen to a great story while you're doing whatever you're doing. I think that's about all I got.
Well, in terms of gratitude, like first and foremost, you know, in terms of, you know, tabletop role playing sphere, thankful for the D&D Lorecast community, you know, the being able to jump on the Discord, you know, talk to any number of the listeners that, you know, about the crazy ideas I have in my head, you know, will this work? Will this not work? You know, like I just found this on the DMs Guild. Like this was just announced on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. You know, like that outlet is paramount for me. You know, this is something that, that I've always wanted, in terms of like, I've always wanted a group of friends that I could talk to about D&D all the time. Like any D&D related, harebrained idea that came through my brain, be able to, you know, spit it out and have other people hear it. That's, you know, that's how my brain works. I'm thinking about D&D all the time, even when I'm not actively playing D&D, listening to D&D, reading about D&D, or watching D&D. Somehow my brain is always thinking about D&D. So the community is so beneficial for me in that space. I'm thankful for all the friends that I made at the two aforementioned conventions that I went to. Like I said, like, and these are a bunch of folks, since they were local cons, a bunch of them are in the area. And so like, I'll be able to see them and play with them in the future, you know, without having to go to a convention, hopefully. I'm thankful for my friendly, local friendly gaming store, HeroQuest in Fort Worth. I, back in August, I started running a monthly session at their store, where I play a different Goodman Games game, every month. Started off with Dungeon Crawl Classics. I've played Mutant Crawl Classics. I ran an X-Crawl playtest of my own, making. And then, gonna finish it off with another local boy from Denton, Texas, running his Mutant Crawl Classics adventure that he just kickstarted. Grateful for Kickstarter, because, you know, able to help out, able to back not only like, you know, bigger companies like Goodman Games, like Free League, but also like, you know, smaller creators, able to let them know like, you know, what you're doing is great, what you're doing is awesome, what you're doing is worthwhile, and, you know, worth people spending money on. And so, you know, to me, that's very satisfying, to let someone know like what they're doing is, you know, creatively is beneficial and appreciated. Again, obviously grateful for my family and, you know, kids and wow, whatever, like, of course. But this is a D&D Lorecast. Grateful for other games aside from D&D, you know, while D&D, fifth edition especially, you know, while they have the biggest slice of the pie in the tabletop marketplace, you know, other games like, you know, like the various Goodman Games, tabletop games, you know, all the stuff from Free League, like, Jeff, you mentioned Cimborium earlier. I just got the Walking Dead book. I've been hyper fixated on Blade Runner lately, and I'm not sure why, because the last time I
Blade Runner's amazing.
Well, I mean, like, I know I know that, but I don't know why in particular now, like at this moment in time, like why I've been fixated on it, because the last time I did anything Blade Runner related was when I played the adventure, the case is what they're called, from the starter set at the North Texas RPG Con, which is a fantastic session. Like, they became talk of the convention. Like, the next day I would talk to people like, oh yeah, I played in Blade Runner. It's like, oh, is that the Paul Smith game? Oh yeah, I heard that was incredible. I heard that was amazing. And so that was the last time I consumed Blade Runner content. And just for some reason in the past month, I've rewatched both movies. Started reading through the Blade Runner core rulebook from Free League again. And now have an idea in my head for an adventure, for a Blade Runner adventure. I'm not going to spoil it on the air, but I will tell y'all after we're done recording. But that's what I'm grateful for. Most in particular, like I said, the community, and then, you know, family, stuff like that, whatever. I love my family. I just want that on the record. Well, if you are interested in letting us know what you're grateful for, let us know. And once you...
we're here for you.
You jump on the Discord and let us know and, you know, join the community. Talk about all the cool stuff that you've been getting into as well. We're, you know, happy to have another voice among the cacophony. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Darkwing and Jeff and Grim and Coffee, for joining. We'll be back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll be back next week with more lore. If you love the D&D Lorecast, if you want more lore, then you can always go to patreon.com/D&D Lorecast, where we have at least 2 Patreon Plus installments, which are deeper dives into the lore we cover every week, as well as a bonus episode. This month it's going to be... what did we talk about? Well, Gith. We're talking Gith with Sean. And, you know, Sean fell in love with the Gith playing Baldur's Gate 3. So it's just apropos that we talk about them. Lazel in particular. He loves Lazel and Shadowheart. He's a man with many loves. Well, my name is Sergio. Fare thee well. No, you're not Fairfolk of the Patreon. My name is Sergio. Fare thee well, dear listener. Until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Just in the middle?
Thank you for listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, consider following us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at D&D Lorecast, or jumping into the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons & Dragons. We'll see you soon.
Listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.com.